Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
On X at Rich Zeoli, and the governor of Pennsylvania and the governor of Michigan hanging out like besties, BFFs, two with major presidential ambitions and a potential ticket right there, as they are on the front page of the newspapers across both Michigan and Pennsylvania. We'll talk about that, too, this hour. Now, the whole thing with Epstein, what you got to realize right now, and something I've said for a while, is that the idea that Jeffrey Epstein was connected to Donald Trump is, I mean, in terms of doing anything wrong, Trump doing anything wrong is crazy. It's nuts. There's another layer to this story, and credit to Michael Smirkanish of CNN, who had this author on, who wrote this book. And this guy was basically suggesting, and this is cut number five, was basically suggesting it's very possible, Barry Levine, his name is, that when Epstein wrote that 2011 email about Trump, it might have been Trump who actually turned him in to the authorities. So then that begs the question, why not answer that question right now? I have a theory about that. Take a listen.
On that 2011 email, we'll put it up on the screen, and I will ask you, the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. What do you think he's referring to?
Well, I think Jeffrey Epstein is referring to the fact that he believes that Donald Trump talked to Michael Reiter, who was the Palm Beach police chief, in 2004 and began the first investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. I suspect that Jeffrey Epstein, in his conversation or email with Maxwell, was saying he was 75% there, believing that Trump might have been the whistleblower at the time. Again, you have to remember that particular year, the two men had a falling out, not only over the fact that Ghislaine Maxwell was taking young women from his spot, Mar-a-Lago, for Jeffrey Epstein, but they also had a nasty real estate deal that both men were trying to get. So there was bad blood between the two of them.
Okay, so it's a combination then of the Trump being the dog who didn't bark and that additional line on that email. We'll put it back on the screen. Police chief, etc. I'm 75% there, meaning he's 75% there to believing that Trump is an informant against him.
That is what I believe based on my research of years of the Jeffrey Epstein story.
Okay, but
you also have to remember that the House Speaker at one point.
Barry, if Donald Trump were an informant, if Donald Trump dropped the dime on Jeffrey Epstein, why wouldn't he today in this climate be shouting it from the mountaintops? I'm the one who put him away.
That's a question that only the president can answer. And again, the Palm Beach police have never said that Donald Trump was an informant. However, not too long ago, the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, said that Donald Trump was an informant on this particular case. So it is rather confusing.
I can give you a reason why Trump would not say anything, because I know it's cliche to say 4D chess, and I personally hate that term at this point. It's been so overused. But talk about it. I mean, a bomb. If in all this comes out, it turns out that Trump was one. Trump basically ratted the guy out. Trump basically is the reason why Epstein was brought to the authorities in the first place. That would be something. And it would really make Democrats look bad, who've been trying so hard to connect Trump to Epstein in a nefarious way. Just one theory. There's one theory to think about right there. But now that he said he's going to, and he's telling the Republicans, vote to release the files. We need to find out what's in there. And all these documents that are coming out showing Epstein's relationship with key Biden officials, key Obama officials. The question becomes, after this guy was so disgraced, why were people in the Obama administration and the Biden administration still talking to this guy? That's what I don't understand. I mean, Trump wasn't anymore. And he cut the guy off, and that was it, and that was the end of it. And then all these people kept reaching out to Jeffrey Epstein, who was disgraced and a perv, and they didn't mind talking to him, and many of them were also looking to try to get dirt on Donald Trump. So they were actively looking to get dirt on Trump. Didn't find anything. But why was he still in the orbit of people in the Obama administration? And even in the Biden administration, why was he still in their orbit of high-profile Democrat officials? Why didn't they all say the guy was a plague and say, get rid of him? We don't want to be around this guy. We don't want this guy. We don't want to be texting with this guy. We don't want to be emailing with this guy. Why? That's the question. And hopefully some of that comes out. But the one thing I think we need to figure out is whether or not Jeffrey Epstein was, in fact, a foreign intelligence asset to our government, to another government, to both. And was it Israel? It wasn't not Israel. Now, as the president and Marjorie Taylor Greene are having this fight, which I'm sure, like a lot of other political fights, will at some point blow over and they'll be friends again. I'm not really not that concerned about it. It's also why I tend not to jump on these bandwagon fights where it's like all these people who start pouring gasoline on the fire. It's like, you know, at some point they're adults. They'll figure it out and they'll probably wind up being just fine in the end. But what her point was over the weekend to CNN is the question that needs to be asked regarding Epstein. And this is the question that she asked on CNN. I know they were uncomfortable having her ask it, but it's a question that I've been asking. And I think it's a legitimate question based on the fact that we know that the guy who was prosecuting Epstein in Florida said he was a national security asset. Based on the time that when the FBI raided his luxury townhouse in New York City, and there was that safe and all the stuff that was sitting there in plain sight, yet they said they didn't have a warrant for it and they had to leave. They didn't try to get a judge on the phone. They could have got a warrant within the hour, but they didn't. They left. They didn't show up for 4 days later, and by then, of course, the safe was cleaned out. That's not the kind of stuff that happens in real life, unless that person is purposely being protected, unless the cancer guy from the X-Files shows up wearing the overcoat and basically tells everybody to get out of the room. Because what's in there also is a national security imperative for whatever reason. So were we blackmailing people? Were we bringing people down to that island? Were we putting people in compromising positions? Was Israel doing that? These are questions we have to figure out. And I think the reality of us ever knowing that is probably pretty slim. That's really what the fight over the release of the files is probably about, much more so than that. Now, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is nuts to suggest that Israel is blackmailing Trump. I don't think there's no blackmail involved here, but I do think that if our own national security agencies were I mean, for lack of a better word, in bed with a guy who was sleeping with underage girls and bringing people to his island to sleep with underage girls, that's not a good look. It's not a good look. And it's a look you wouldn't want coming out. I think that's also a thing. And if Israel was involved in that, that's also something you wouldn't want coming out. Obviously. Cut four.
And you posted just yesterday on X, you questioned who and what country is putting so much pressure on Trump to keep the Epstein files hidden. And you included a picture about donations from pro-Israel lobbying group AIPAC. What are you trying to say there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a question that many Americans are asking, especially when we saw information recently come out in these emails that the Oversight Committee that I serve on has released. And we saw Jeffrey Epstein with ties to Ehud Barak. We saw him making business deals with them, also business deals that involved the Israeli government and seems to have led into their intel agencies. And I think the right question is to ask is, was Jeffrey Epstein working for Israel? And I'm proud to say I don't take money from AIPAC. I don't take money from any special group of people. I'm just representing my district and the American people. And so that's what I was referring to.
I just want to be clear. Are you saying Israel is pushing the president of the United States to cover up the Epstein files? And what evidence do you have that that is the case?
I simply just asked out loud, is there a foreign government? It could be any foreign government, but is a foreign government pushing to keep this covered up? Because people just don't understand the big fight against.
Well, you had AIPAC up there. It was pretty clear which government you were talking about.
That I'm questioning that government in particular and questioning any other foreign government.
Okay.
That's the reality of this that I think we all are probably going to be sorely disappointed in will that stuff ever come out. I mean that's the problem. It's always been the problem here. And the DNC and Democrats and high profile Democrats who still kept this guy in their orbit even after they knew the guy was bad news. And they still held on to his money, too. There was an article that was from a couple months ago. Fox News published this. Ashley Oliver, it's back in September. DNC holds on to decades-old Jeffrey Epstein donations after other Dems return theirs. DNC Chairman Ken Martin accused the president of covering up for the notorious sexual predator. Well, Democrat National Committee's donations from the late financier Jeffrey Epstein have come under review and under scrutiny as they continue to try to tie him with Trump. The DNC's donations from Epstein in the mid-1990s, totaling $32,000, were never returned by the committee, while several other Democratic lawmakers and entities have since donated or returned theirs. The donations are visible in public campaign finance records are back in the spotlight as the DNC relentlessly taunts the Trump administration over Epstein by creating a social media account dedicated to raising awareness about his non-public case files and circulating a mobile billboard about it around the White House. DNC Chairman Ken Martin recently accused President Trump, who was once friends with Epstein, prior to Epstein facing charges of covering up for a notorious sexual predator. Now, he was asked the question on why didn't they return the funds? And the DNC spokesperson brushed it off in a statement to Fox News Digital, saying, instead of trying to blow the cobwebs off of decades-old contributions and defunct campaign accounts, Donald Trump should release the Epstein files. Okay, well, now that the Epstein files are about to be released, I guess the question then becomes, will you give the money back? Or do you guys not have the ability to walk and talk and chew gum at the same time? Scrutiny over donations and any conflicts they present is common in political campaigns. The RNC faced calls to return what Business Insider found to be $1.4 million from its former finance chair, Steve Wynn, a casino mogul who stepped down from the committee and with Wynn Resorts after facing numerous allegations of sexual misconduct and settling lawsuits over the allegations. But the DNC also accepted more than $90,000 from the private hedge funds of billionaire Glenn Dublin, who was close ties to Epstein. At least two top Republicans also accepted donations from Dublin, who accepted millions of blah, 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 blah. But I think the bottom line is this. If the Democrats are going to make this an attack point, like Chuck Schumer, for example, who received thousands from Epstein in the 1990s, vowed in 2019 to offset the funds by making a donation in their amount to anti-trafficking and women advocacy groups. Now, Stacey Plaskett, whose name you're going to hear a lot in the next few days, Stacey Plaskett was texting with Epstein about a lot of things, including Donald Trump, because Epstein hated Trump, and Stacey Plaskett, Democrat from the Virgin Islands, she hates Trump, too. She would disavow Epstein's donations by giving them to the Women's Coalition and the Family Resource Center, but only after facing criticism for initially choosing to hold on to the money. Now, I'm just saying, you know, these people have no problem taking the guy's cash and keeping the cash. When it comes to life, they still have the cash, and they're like, oh, well, I'll make a donation to a women's advocacy group to offset the fact that I took money from this perv. Now, CNN panelists, and this is cut number seven, Kate Baldwin shutting down left-wing author Touré for reportedly claiming that Trump is a pedophile. It's a ridiculous allegation. I'm glad they shut it down. Good for them. Cut seven.
You don't care that the president might be a pedophile? You don't care that the
government... No, pedophile. No.
You don't care.
There's no evidence of it.
But that's what... No, it's not insane. That's what we've been talking about all week. The emails have been talking about. That's what we've been talking about all week. That's why he doesn't want to release the files. And to say that nobody cares is kind of absurd. If the president is a pedophile, we should know about it, and people would care about that.
Right. No one is suggesting that President Trump is a pedophile.
Why do you give that guy airtime is my question. Why, with all the people that can go on TV, why do you give that guy airtime to go on there and make those kind of allegations? Nobody's suggesting he's a pedophile. Nobody's suggesting that you see, that you just say it and you let it hang out there. And then you go, oh, you know, just kind of let it hang out there. There's nothing in these files, and this is what Congressman Tom Massie, who's been pushing for the release of these files, and obviously he and Trump are also fighting, and he and Trump fight on a lot of different things, so there's kind of nothing new there. But Massie, who's a Kentucky congressman, says, I don't think there's anything in there that's going to implicate Donald Trump. This is cut number three. He sat down with Jonathan Carl. Take a listen.
I mean, it is extraordinary to hear him demand an investigation and only mention Democrats, only mention his political opponents. But you're saying he doesn't really, he may not really even want any investigation. He wants to prevent the release. Why does he want to prevent this? What is he afraid of?
You know, I've never said that these files will implicate Donald Trump, and I really don't think that they will. I think he's trying to protect a bunch of rich and powerful friends, billionaires, donors to his campaign, friends in his social circles. And that's my operating theory on why he's trying so hard to keep these files closed.
No. And besides that, now he's telling everybody to vote on the release of the files. I don't think it's protecting rich and powerful friends. I think it's protecting another. It's a national security thing. That's what it's about. It's a national security thing, and it's something to do with either Israel or another country and the United States and things we were doing. And that's really what it comes down to. It's not about protecting any rich and powerful people in his orbit. But regardless, he said Friday night in Air Force One that the Republicans should release the files. And then he put a lengthy Truth Social post out of today. And then you heard the clip from the Oval Office today. The president said, release the files.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So put him out there and let him out. Let him get out there and for everybody to see. And I just, to that point, say good, because it's better to have the transparency and it's better to not have anyone questioning this. There's no reason to question this. There's no reason for anybody to make allegations like that, period. You don't need to do it. You don't need to have it. And you can just move on from that. And you can move on and you can get back to talking about all the things that we should be discussing right now, like how freaking insane the Democrats are and how insane it is that the guy at the center of this, for Epstein, Bill Clinton, we know is very good friends with Jeffrey Epstein, and we know is palling around with him. There's zero scrutiny around Bill Clinton. I mean, nothing. There never has been. There never has been. Never, ever has been. Ever. So if you can conclude logically that if there was something there that would have brought down Donald Trump, then they would have gone after it, then ask yourself then, why did the Democrats not do it for 4 years? And did they now put themselves in a very bad position because they've been calling for the release of these files? The files are going to be released. And now is this all going to blow up in their face? Did they play chicken here and they're about to lose in a big, big way? My guess is, considering Epstein hated Trump and considering that these people were going to him and trying to get something from him that would have brought down Trump, from that author Michael Wolff to Representative or Delegate Stacey Plaskett to these other people, they were trying and there was nothing there. They couldn't find anything. So then the question begs itself, is this now going to expose Democrats? And then is it going to expose people that were in Bill Clinton's orbit who were very, very high powerful people? Another country, who knows? Oh, speaking of people in Clinton's orbit, and I'm not suggesting James Carville is anything to do with Epstein, but he was on over the weekend with Kayleigh McEnany on her show on Fox News. He also said the other day on a podcast that the Democrats need to pack the Supreme Court and then pass statehood for D.C. and Puerto Rico and add 4 Democrat senators. Now, who's been telling you for years that that's exactly what the Democrats will do if they get power? Me. I've been telling you that. I've been telling you for years that that's what the Democrats' secret evil plan is. You pack the Supreme Court, you get D.C. and Puerto Rico to become a state, you get 4 new senators, and you kill the filibuster so there's no way for Republicans to ever block it. The Democrats would have a permanent supermajority in the U.S. Senate. They can pack the Supreme Court with their wacko judges. They have a permanent supermajority in the Supreme Court. And then even if the House is able to land in Republican hands, they would still control everything in the Senate. So they're able to kill everything a Republican president does and just push through every nomination of a Democrat president, push through pretty much everything. And then at that point, the only battle is, and the House districts are so narrowly defined right now, one seat in this direction, one seat in that direction, decides complete control of the House of Representatives, Democrats could run the government in a way that a Republican would not even be able to stop them. That's why you can't get rid of the filibuster. That's why when people were saying that during the shutdown, I kept saying this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea because at some point you're going to wish you had it to try to stop them. Now, other people turn around and say, well, yeah, but the Democrats, you know, they're going to kill it anyway, but they didn't. They didn't. They could have, and they didn't, because Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema stopped them. So could it happen? Yes, but then it happens if they do it. It doesn't mean we should do it, knowing what their secret evil plan is, which is not so secret since James Carville's out there saying it, and this is what he said, cut 18.
I want to talk to Chief Justice Roberts, Justice Alito, Justice Barrett, Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Gorsuch. I might be forgetting one. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. A Democrat is going to be elected in 2028. You know that. I know that. It's going to be a Democratic House. It's going to be a Democratic Senator. The Democratic president is going to announce a special transition advisory committee on the reform of the Supreme Court, that we could have our third branch of government has lost the faith and trust of American people, and his president would are going to do everything along. He's going to appoint a blue ribbon, maybe Judge Luttig and the dean of the, you know, just the usual suspects, all right? And they're going to recommend that the number of Supreme Court justices go from 9 to 13. That's going to happen, people. That's going to happen to you. They're going to win. They're going to do some blue ribbon panel of distinguished jurists, and they are going to recommend 13, and a Democratic Senate and House are going to pass it, and the Democratic president is going to sign it, because they have to do an intervention so we can have a Supreme Court that the American people trust again. So just keep that in the back of your mind. And I would bet a lot of money that that's what's going to happen. A lot.
And then they make D.C. a state. They make Puerto Rico a state. And then they run the table on everything. Four more senators. It could be a permanent majority for them in the Senate. Don't give up the filibuster. Don't do it. You'll be very unhappy. Now, luckily, we dodged that bullet. That was one of the things that the president was saying. And I got into this debate with a few people about this. And I said, bad idea. I said it on the show. It was a bad idea. It's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. You're going to wish you had it if that ever becomes the case. All right. Susan Crabtree is going to join us in just a second and talk to us about Thomas Crooks and what they're hiding from us. And let me tell you about my friends, though, at Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and Tri-County Toyota. Brian Krieger is general manager, Jack Donaldson, great people. Tri-County is family-owned and family-friendly. Wonderful place to do business, wonderful place to go. They take great care of you, and they are our official car sponsor for the show. You can get inside a new Toyota at Tri-County Toyota. Right now, lease a new 2025 Tacoma four-wheel drive double cab SR5. You can lease for $229 a month for 39 months. Or check out a new 2025 RAV4 LE all-wheel drive for just $309 a month for 39 months. You can even buy and get financing around 4.75% financing for 72 months. Great specials, great deals, and a great way to get you inside the car of your dreams. And if you want to go Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, the wrap up the year sales event is happening right now. You can lease a new 2025 Jeep Compass Limited for just $328 a month for 42 months. If you need something bigger, get a new 2025 Ram truck with 0% financing for 72 months, or a new 2026 Ram truck with 0% financing for 60 months. Check out the showroom. They're right on 422. Easy to get to from everywhere. Collegeville, King of Prussia, Limerick, Skipback, wherever you want to go. Jersey, Main Line, Philadelphia, And you should definitely go and see them because they're wonderful people there and they'll take great care of you. Look for the gigantic American flag. It sits between the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram dealership and the Toyota dealership. You simply can't miss it. They care about our veterans. It's how I met the Kriegers. I met them through the Travis Madden Foundation. Their incredible support at all the radiothons that we do. Even donated a beautiful Jeep Wrangler to the Travis Madden Foundation for all their wonderful services. So stop in, say hello, give them a salute, and say thank you. TriCounty.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
See that? Welcome music for Susan Crabtree, since she knows all about California, being the author of the book Fool's Gold, the radicals, con artists, and traitors who killed the California dream and now threaten us all. One of those slime balls, of course, is the frontrunner for president in 2028, Gavin Newsom. We'll ask her about that as well. So great to welcome back to the show Real Clear Politics national political correspondent Susan Crabtree. Hello, my friend. It's been a minute. How are you?
It has. I've been busy, but great. How about you?
Been doing well. Your name came up when Miranda Devine was on America Reports earlier today, and she mentioned you, and then she mentioned you in her article in the New York Post. And so it's great that you're joining us today. Thank you, because I know you're in high demand. What's coming out about Thomas Crooks? I would say it's mind blowing, but nothing is mind blowing anymore, Susan. And you've been all over this story from day one. So what have we learned in the last several weeks now about the fact that he did in fact have a digital footprint when the FBI told us he did not?
Yeah, we just learned this on Friday, and then Tucker Carlson tore the lid off of this, what I consider a likely cover up, and then Miranda Devine, you know, blew it open further today on Monday morning. What we know is that Thomas Crooks, that the FBI was not being forthcoming with his YouTube accounts. They portrayed him as anti-Semitic and anti-immigrant, you know, sort of a right winger, a far right winger, not somebody that most mainstream Republicans would embrace, but somebody that was anti, that was pro-Trump and anti-Joe Biden. But now we're learning that there was a dramatic turn of events in Thomas Crooks's life during COVID. And this is true for many people who are, you know, basically getting radicalized online during COVID, spending too much time on the internet. And he became very anti-Trump, and he started talking explicitly about assassinating government officials, and that that's the only way to change government. And so where were all those posts? Where have they been, hiding under a rock somewhere? And the FBI was not even not forthcoming about them. They were obfuscating. And you had the FBI director under Biden testifying before Congress shortly after the Butler assassination attempt that it may not have even been a bullet. At this point, right, they likely had the YouTube, the full YouTube account, and showing that this guy turned against Donald Trump and was talking explicitly and even practicing target shooting in his bedroom. I mean, this is a blockbuster information. And so now Miranda Devine this morning, she blows it open even further by saying he had 17 social media accounts and that he was even on this account that was known for sort of gender bending, kind of furry type of behavior, like Charlie Kirk's assassin, Tyler Robinson. Are you kidding me with this information? Yeah. Now we want to know, it goes back to the old Watergate saying, what did the FBI and the Secret Service know, and when did they know it about Thomas Crooks? And they are not being forthcoming to me or Miranda.
All right, so a couple things here. First of all, the idea that he was a ghost on social media, and that's really what we have been led to believe up until now. Thomas Crooks was a ghost. He became a ghost, but he wasn't always a ghost. And that's the problem here, is that they didn't tell us about the part where he wasn't a ghost. We're talking about posts on multiple platforms, including YouTube and others. Chess.com, which blew my mind when I read that. I didn't even know that was a thing. And also his association with this neo-Nazi guy from Norway or something, right? And he was having conversations with him as well. And so, I mean, all this stuff is there. And yet they lied and said that he was this mystery and this ghost, and which created, to your point and to Miranda Devine's point, Susan Crabtree, a lot of conspiracy theories. Because in the absence of having any information, and something that sounds so incredibly just out there and implausible, people, it's natural, it's human nature. You start to fill in the gaps with things, and you go, well, if this guy really is a ghost and didn't have any online presence, maybe it wasn't him. Maybe he's a patsy, or maybe he was hired by somebody. Or, you know, I mean, all these things happen as a result of them not being forthcoming. But what I still don't get is why Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, has to subpoena the FBI now that we're in charge here to get answers. I don't get that.
Well, the Secret Service doesn't want to be forthcoming about anything with you or any other report with me, with anybody, other reporter or any type of anybody, FOIA requests, what have you. It's so they were still doing their mission assurance report. They were still finishing it. So they weren't they had to wrap it up when Ron Johnson said, hey, I'm subpoenaing you for what happened to these six people that were in charge of security at Butler. I'm going to subpoena that information from you. So they had to wrap up their report really quick and finalize the disciplinary actions against these people. The report itself is classified, and I'm heard that it's very juicy. I don't believe that the Secret Service knew had it's called a person of record that Tom did. He wasn't on their radar screen. I talked to people who would know, even dating back to 2019, 2020. They're in a position to know at the Secret Service, and they said, no, he was not. What I don't know is what the FBI, if it was on the FBI's radar screen, they told Congress he was not. Okay, this was right after Butler, in the weeks and months after Butler, and it's in the congressional investigation reports that he was not on the FBI radar screen. Well, guess what? Miranda and I asked both the FBI and the Secret Service this weekend. Secret Service deferred to the FBI, which doesn't make any sense, but, you know, they always try to obfuscate over there. And the FBI told both of us declined to comment. Wait a second. I thought you said last year that he wasn't on your radar screen. Why are you now saying decline to comment? Because you right. don't want to admit that you either you don't want to admit you missed these social media posts, or he was on your radar screen and you the Biden era FBI was lying about it to Congress and anybody, everybody else, all the American people. And then the question becomes, why were they lying? I mean, they had to have had. Okay, let me just say this. I have not independently verified the YouTube comments that both and the social media posts that Miranda has and Tucker Carlson have. They're working with a private investigator, they've said, and that managed to glean this information off the internet. But you have to believe that the FBI issued an emergency request demand to YouTube and to Gab. Both of them have come. YouTube, we know that they did because they admitted it to CNN in an article late last year. So we know that they had the YouTube account, and the Gab founder has come forward. He came forward as early as July 30th to say, hey, the FBI is not giving you the full deal here. That's not right. what our social media shows with him. That's not. So now we know, according to Miranda, that 17 accounts uncovered by her source, and I think it's the same source as Tucker Carlson's, had a YouTube account, Snapchat that Crooks had, Venmo, Zelle, GroupMe, Discord, Google Play, Quizlet, Chess.com, as you mentioned, and Quora. So don't, and then now we know he was on this I guess called Deviant or something. It's another one I'm not aware of. But
that's like a furry. That's like a furry meetup weird thing. That Deviant.com thing. I wouldn't look that up at a work browser.
Yeah.
Or ever so, for that matter, or any browser for that matter.
Yeah, I mean Miranda has the information on that he was looking up muscular women or I don't know.
Muscular bodied men with women's faces. Bizarre. I mean, freaking bizarre. Susan Crabtree is with us right now. We're talking about Thomas Crooks, the would-be presidential assassin who was an assassin in Butler, killing Corey Compitore and injuring two others on that fateful day back in the summer of 2024. And Susan, your reporting has been spot on. Miranda Devine's reporting has always been spot on. You know, the New York Post, Real Clear Politics, you both have the highest standards. I don't mean to, like, I'm not attempting to disparage Tucker in any way. I'm just simply saying that you're both journalists, you both vet your sources, you check your sources, you go through all the hoops, and you've always been accurate in your reporting. So there's no reason for me to doubt any of this. And the pattern that I see here going to your reporting about the Secret Service is that you've talked about low morale. You've talked about their inability to get answers on things. And then the stonewalling that occurs. But I got to come back to the same question that I asked earlier regarding the FBI. So now I'll just switch it and say to the Secret Service, I thought Sean Cullen's in charge. And I thought Sean was with the president at Butler. And I thought the president appointed him because he was going to get all the answers. And he's the boss and he wants answers on what happened that day in Butler. So why the hell are we not getting them from the Secret Service?
So that's my question. I was waiting to see what Sean Curran was due. I was expecting Sean Curran to come in and give me stories about the reforms that he was instituting at the Secret Service. I was positioned to be the reporter that was going to get those stories. I had done some critical reporting about him early on because he was in charge of that detail that had the lesbian Latino partier posting on social media from her work sites. This was who he allowed to be in charge of the site security at Butler. He put her in charge. And then I was told, oh, it's rotation. And so then her rotation number came up. Well, okay. I've also talked to special agents, retired special agents, who said we used to pair people with mentors if they didn't have experience to run an outdoor rally. So what happened to that program? So then you would be paired with a mentor. You do it a couple times at these major out. They don't have. I mean, no one is really. The problem is Trump broke the mold, right? Nobody else had these outdoor rallies that were attracting all kinds of people. Nobody is Donald Trump. So you've got to be threat-based. And I do give Sean Curran credit for demanding more security for Trump. And he has the receipts on that. Over time, he demanded, kept asking and begging for more security for Donald Trump as the head of the detail during the campaign for a year and a half for Mar-a-Lago and for these big campaign events. But why did he let this new girl who was known for partying and not known as a serious agent be in charge of security? Yeah. And guess what? The perimeter was in the wrong place, and the AGR building, the American Glass building, was not covered properly. Now, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories about why that occurred. I don't believe the conspiracy theories about that. I believe it was Secret Service incompetence based on lowering of standards of the Secret Service over the course of 10 or more years since the prostitution scandals erupted, and you've had, you know, fallout at the Secret Service, embarrassment, and so
senior DEI agent, and all the other things, yeah, too, right?
The DEI, right? I mean, I've read about the DEI.
You have, Susan Crabtree, and I get it. I mean, I understand the point about not believing the secrets, the conspiracy theories around why the roof, the AGR building, which Thomas Crooks was allowed to access. But at the same time, in the absence of not getting information, the absence of not getting the truth, it's just human nature to go back to, well, then maybe there was something, and then people start to fill in the gaps. And this is their fault that people have conspiracy theories and create them, because it's just like with Oswald. It's like, until you release everything, until you let everybody know the truth about, and so we can get all the answers. Yeah, guess what? You're going to sow the seeds of conspiracy. That's just how it works.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, the FBI had one press conference. The Secret Service waited to do anything. And, you know, she was, which was ridiculous. So we expected, after assassination attempt, a series of press conferences. I thought, mm-hmm. Oh, no, I've got to cover our Republican National Committee. Are my editors going to let me do both? I got to cover both, right? I've got to cover the Secret Service press conferences. No, there was the dearth of press conferences from the Secret Service or the FBI during in the immediate aftermath. They were getting their ducks in a row. And of course, Kim Cheadle, this is about leadership. Kim Cheadle shows up at the RNC, and she has senators, Marsha Blackburn among others, running after her and yelling at her and screaming questions because she won't give the senators the time of day. So it begs the question, what are you hiding? What were they hiding? Now, I think the Secret Service was hiding incompetence. I'm not so sure now about the FBI. I don't engage in conspiracy theories, but I have to be open-minded to what, you know, where the story is going to take me. And now I am deeply concerned, and I'm hoping that Kash Patel and Dan Bongino are on the case. They've said that they looked through everything and they believed it was that Thomas Crooks acted alone. And they stand by that story. On Friday, they stood by that story. Now, I haven't heard from them after Miranda's story broke this morning. Miranda called me on Saturday, and she wanted to know, you know, what the Secret Service, if he was a... what I've learned now is called a person of record with the Secret Service. Was he on the Secret Service radar? And so I did some sleuthing over the weekend. I truly believe he was not on the Secret Service's radar. But it just begs the question. I hope that Cash and Dan will then now go back and start following these leads to wherever they go. Did they know about these extra social media posts? Maybe they were trying to keep it under wraps so that they could pursue the story where it leads. You know, they did a similar sort of, you know, interesting way they handled the Tyler Robinson. They had a press conference that put pressure on the family, and his, you know, furry lover, Tyler Robinson's, to come up with more information. And then they did, and then they came out with the full story. So maybe that's what's going on here, or maybe the FBI under Biden hid this information from the new leadership, Dan and Cash. So, you know, what is it? They're in an awkward position now because the cat's out of the bag. You know, yeah. We got all these social media posts. Somebody was hiding them. If they weren't hiding them, then the FBI is just totally incompetent. if these social media posts are verified, which I truly believe Miranda would do a good job on verifying that.
No question about it. Susan Crabtree, while I have you, as the author of the book Fool's Gold and doing all your extensive research into California and how they've destroyed that state, Gavin Newsom is running for president, and he, as of right now, is probably the front runner for 2028. I mean, maybe Kamala Harris, but I doubt it. I mean, it's probably going to be him, although Josh Shapiro took Gretchen Whitmer to the Eagles game yesterday, and the two of them were, you know, making lots and lots of pictures and BFFs and just nauseating. But Gavin Newsom was at COP30, the climate summit, and he was there, and he was going on about how, you know, Donald Trump this and Donald Trump that, and it's obvious here that he's running for president. And energy is one of those big areas, again, where California's energy prices have skyrocketed. Gavin Newsom drove that state away from the kind of energy that it needed and created a situation where it became so incredibly expensive. And you've written about this. I mean, Gavin Newsom's links to Chinese money and how much Chinese money is behind the very kind of things like those massive wind turbines that are in the desert in California doing absolutely nothing, the solar panels, the EVs, and on it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Gavin Newsom, it's worse than you're depicting it, because the senators, Ron Johnson and Senator Rick Scott, were in the Palisades on Thursday when Gavin Newsom was gallivanting off at a climate summit, blaming the Palisades fire on climate change. When these individuals, we know it's arson, he always says it's climate change. Nancy Pelosi has always said, and Kamala Harris has always said these role. I mean, we don't have a fire season in California anymore. We have a fire year. Those are Gavin Newsom's own words, because of climate change. No, that was arson that could have been suppressed. Mm-hmm. And the LA Fire Department, guess what? We're finding out now from Spencer Pratt, because his house was burned down and he's on a mission. It's not the LA Times that's finding the information. It's Spencer Pratt, and then the LA Times has to follow him. We're finding out now that the LA Fire Department was saying that they can't go in, and they told the people on the ground, the fire chief, that you have to get out of there. It's fine. I know it's still smoldering at this Lackland fire that then just rekindled to cause the Palisades fire. So the Lackland fire was New Year's Eve. And now we're finding out that there was an environmental plant that they didn't want to bring the bulldozers in to excavate to find how far the fire had is smoldering in the roots of these trees in this Lackland area. They didn't want to bring the bulldozer in because they were worried about a plant that was environmentally protected. Well, guess what? As Spencer Pratt shows, there are no plants there anymore. It's completely burned out. And it's responsible for the whole, for reigniting and causing the entire Palisades to go down. So you have Gavin Newsom continuing to blame climate change when there's no doubt that it was arson for that fire. And the Eaton fire on the same day, January 7th, nearby in Altadena, which killed 12 people. No, I think it killed 17 people and the Palisades killed 12. It was started by SoCal Edison, a utility that gives tons of money to both Newsom and the Democrats in power in the state legislature. So, his record with PG&E he's in bed with PG&E. They spent money. I've told you this before, Rich. They spent $750,000 PG&E, which caused the Paradise fire in 2017 that killed 84 people. PG&E was found by a judge guilty of manslaughter, 84 counts. So, and guess what Gavin Newsom did for PG&E? Gave them a bailout so that they have created a fire fund, which now SoCal Edison is drawing fund to compensate victims, but not fully compensate victims, and keep SoCal Edison and PG&E operating. And they get record profits. Their CEOs are making record profits. And guess who was the person in charge of that reservoir, that LA official? Janice Quiñones, making $750,000 on a government salary that can't keep the reservoir full. Guess where she worked before him? PG&E. Mm-hmm. It's a little revolving door of environmental nonsense and utility corruption and negligence. And Democrats are just on the take from every utility in California. And, you know, Republicans tell me, conservatives, say, oh, you can't talk about utilities causing the fires. Listen. Yes, we can, because it's not a partisan issue. We're not protecting companies that are corrupt. These companies are not keeping their equipment at the top shape, and they're letting their equipment deteriorate to the point where it's causing these blazes that are killing people in California. The Paradise Fire in 2017 should have been a canary in the coal mine. We should have never had the Palisades Fire if the government had reacted in the appropriate way. Paradise is a rural area, beautiful area in Northern California, and it is not wealthy. So nobody cared. The media didn't do their job, and the national media didn't step in and say, California media, you're idiots, move aside, we're taking over, when 84 people died in that fire. And it was caused by the utilities. Even the Wall Street Journal says PG&E is responsible for 1,500 fires in 6 years. That's like a fire and a half. It's a fire every day and a half, if you do the math. It's like 0.68 fires a day.
And a judge ruled they were liable in that fire, and they had to pay billions of dollars.
Yeah, I have my whole chapter about it in my book, which was written before Palisades. And there's a hook that carries these huge conductors of electricity, and the wind shakes the hook. And the hook was actually supposed to be, it creates a groove in the hook where it's hanging. And it's carrying all this tons of weight of electric. I'm not a specialist in this, but you can read about it in my book. And there's a groove that was created from all the high winds when that is swaying. And it went on for years. It was slated internally by PGE to be replaced. They just didn't feel like doing it because that takes money and their people have to, you know, climb up there and replace it. And they didn't do it. And 84 people died.
Great movie, by the way, an Apple with Matthew McConaughey about a bus driver who had to get kids out. It's a fantastic movie about that fire, and they definitely hold PG&E accountable in that movie, so I'd highly recommend it. Susan, I got to run, but excellent reporting as always. Great to have you back on the show. Let's do this again soon. Susan Crabtree, Real Clear Politics. Great work on this as always. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, thank you for having me, and thanks for your interest in this. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I lose track of time with Susan because she's always so incredibly interesting. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria. Time for you to get that beautiful smile you deserve. Two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VenariaDental.com. 5 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.